Breakfast with Martin Bester.
So we've been running a thing on air called the Santon Surgeon for the last couple of weeks, as you know. And we received thousands and thousands of emails from people all over interested in certain procedures. A lot of those, healthy amount or unhealthy amount of those, came from people that asked for surgery again after surgery fails. Which tells me something. A lot of questions on the back of that. So it's my pleasure to welcome to the show this morning Dr. Duval and Dr. Jandera. Thanks for joining us. Good morning.
Morning.
So a lot of these emails from people that obviously went, I don't know, did they go to the wrong surgeons? Did they choose the wrong plastic surgery? It's obviously concerning that there is so much of that around. Or is it just, who wants to answer that?
I think one of the big problems is that a lot of patients go for cosmetic surgery and they go to somebody who's advertising themselves as a cosmetic surgeon, which is actually a speciality that doesn't exist. The HPCSA, which is the Health Professions Council of South Africa, recognizes plastic surgery as a plastic and reconstructive surgery as a fellowship or a degree that we get. And that is the only registered speciality that there is that deals with cosmetic surgery. So you need to be going to someone who is a plastic and reconstructive surgeon.
So hang on. So what doesn't exist or shouldn't exist?
The concept of a cosmetic surgeon.
Cosmetic surgeon.
So a lot of plastic surgeons would say they do cosmetic surgery, but there's no such thing as a cosmetic surgeon. And this is a problem worldwide.
Is that our first red flag this morning?
Yes.
If you're going to someone calling themselves a cosmetic surgeon, you should probably delve in a little deeper. Ask some more questions.
Exactly.
Plastic surgeons that do cosmetic surgery, but not cosmetic surgeons.
Correct.
All right. We're talking red flags, and I think a lot of people, and judging from the amount of entries we got for the Santon Surgeon, I thought that it's definitely a field that we don't know enough of, and that people deserve more education about plastic surgery, because people make bad decisions. Are these bad doctors, or are these bad decisions?
I think that plastic surgery plays on people's emotions. I think that sometimes the patients who want to have the surgery are really so desperate that they'll go for the cheaper deal. They'll go for something that sounds miraculous. And it's a play on people's human emotions.
Yeah.
So as Isabel and I from the Association of Plastic and Reconstructive Surgeons would like to, if we can send one message across, it's do your homework.
Do
Make
your homework.
Sure that you are visiting a registered plastic and reconstructive surgeon. There are only about 170 of us in the country that are members
what?
Of a PRASA.
Okay.
And if you look at how many anaesthetists, general surgeons, other specialists there are, we are really quite a small society.
But wait now. By the way, obviously, if you want to get into the conversation, you've got any questions for the doctors this morning about plastic surgery, now's your chance. I'm presuming that both of you are pretty good.
We'll try.
So if you get an appointment with either one of you, that would be great. Any questions for the doctors this morning? 084 850 0942. But hang on now quickly. Just why am I hearing so many GPs doing plastic surgery kind of work? Is it a class that you can take? Is it an extra degree that you can add on to your degrees? What's the story? Is it legit?
I don't think it's actually legit. I think every specialty has its scope of practice.
Yeah.
I think what goes back in the day when there weren't that many specialists, and I'm talking 30, 40 years ago, you know, your GP that lived in a country and that did deliveries, did appendectomies, did quite a lot of major surgery.
Mm.
And I think from those days, GPs were given the license to kind of do whatever they were competent in. And I think some of them have taken this to a new extreme in the realms of aesthetic surgery.
Okay.
And they do a weekend course, or they go and they, you know, in America, there's only the American Board of Plastic and Reconstructive Surgeries. But Isabel and I could make our own little board called the Ohio Board of Facial Rejuvenation. And then a GP could come and do a course there and come back and say that he's done a course at the American Board of Rejuvenation, which is actually sort of a nothing. So there's a lot of people who do training, but it's really not recognized training. The Health Professions Council of South Africa only recognizes plastic and reconstructive surgeons to do aesthetic surgery.
Jeez, okay, this is a whole lot though. Just break it down for me. Who do you then avoid? Who do you not go to for what procedure?
So I think the thing is that if you, for instance, a lot of times you'll see a dentist offering Botox. And to me, that as a patient, that wouldn't make sense. If I want to go to a dentist, I want to go there because I want them to fix my teeth. So you also have to use your common sense to a degree. If you want plastic surgery, you want a cosmetic procedure like a breast augmentation or a tummy tuck, make sure that you're going. I mean, a lot of people do a lot of homework when they're buying a new car. I mean, that's a big spend. So they're going out, they're buying a new car, and they'll do their research. But then when they're having surgery, they'll just, somebody in their mom's group or, you know, the play school where they dropped their kid off, had surgery with a particular person and said, yeah, go there. And then, and that's where they'll go. You've got to do your homework, go for the consultation, ask the question, say, are you a registered plastic surgeon? Are you registered with a PRASA? Are you registered with the HPCSA? What are you registered as?
Sure. Did you know this?
Mm-mm.
And
a lot of the doctors that are not plastic surgeons doing surgery don't pretend to be plastic surgeons. They just don't say that they're not plastic surgeons. So you go to their rooms, they've got nice rooms, they seem to know what they're doing, and people sign up.
We're going to continue this talk now because I think we're going to open, we're going to get to a lot of things that none of us knew about, and maybe some red flags that you need to take into account. And also I want to get to the answer to the question, looking at all of us in the studio this morning, who had and who didn't have? I'm kidding. No, you don't.
What is happening? No.
Look at them like.
Did any of us have any plastic surgery?
Coming up, more from our plastic surgeons on the show this morning. Can you go to a GP for Botox?
Yes, you can.
Can you go to a GP? Where's the line?
So, there's no clearly defined line. This is what Vivian was talking about earlier.
Is that a plastic surgeon joke? There's no clearly defined line. Sorry, no.
There's a very clearly defined line.
That's a plastic surgeon joke. No, okay, sorry. So what can a GP do and what can a GP not do?
So by definition, a GP can do something that they're trained in and that they have adequate experience in. But how you define their training and adequate experience in a surgical procedure becomes a little bit more vague. So if you want a good result, then you need to go to someone who is trained specifically in that surgery and knows how to not only perform the surgery and get a good result, but also knows how to deal with the complications when they arise, because complications do arise.
Okay, I think to make it very clear to the public, GPs who have an interest in aesthetic medicine are able to do a lot of non-surgical aesthetics.
Okay.
So they're able to do neurotoxin, fillers, lasers, threads. There's a huge scope of non-surgical aesthetics that some GPs actually sort of semi-specialize in and are really good at. And certainly that is well within their scope of practice. What is not within their scope of practice is a surgical procedure. So once you pick up the knife and do surgery, it becomes in the realm of a plastic surgeon.
Then you only go to a plastic surgeon. We have noticed that there's a lot of botched breast surgery.
Yeah.
Why is that? Why do we get so many people saying that I went the first time round and it failed?
So I think specifically with breast augmentation, it's something that other doctors or even other specialties feel that it's an easy enough procedure. People don't give the same sort of seriousness to the skin as they would to the brain. So, for instance, other doctors, other specialities, they think, obviously, they know that they can't open the skull and operate on someone's brain, and they're not going to try that. But when it comes to a breast augmentation, it seems like an easy enough thing to do. Make a cut,
and it's not that easy as it seems.
Open up and put in an implant. And then when you see the complications, you realize it's not that straightforward.
What is the toughest surgery to do? What is the toughest? If you go for this surgery, you better go to the best doctor. What is that?
You know, they always say the definition of a minor operation is an operation that somebody else is having. So there's no operation that doesn't have risk. There's no operation that's simple and easy and can be done by anybody. And I think all surgery should be taken seriously.
All right, there's a question for you.
I would just like to find out, I'm a mom of four. I recently had twins as well. And this mommy tummy that she get from being pregnant and this flabbiness, will it be best if you actually just go for your hysterectomy first and then you do your mommy tummy, or what is the best advice for this flabby skin and this bulge on your tummy?
Well, the first thing is, do you have you been recommended to have a hysterectomy? Is there a medical reason for this hysterectomy?
No, she's just a voice note.
She's just a voice note. Okay. So, first of all, assuming that a gynecologist has told you that you need a hysterectomy, because one doesn't just routinely have a hysterectomy after your kids, then I would suggest that you have your hysterectomy first and that you don't have your tummy tuck at the same time, because there's an increased risk of having embolism, like clots in the legs that could go in your lung, and this can sometimes be fatal. So we like to keep those two procedures separate. And I think it would make more sense to do the medical thing first and then to come for your mummy makeover.
Okay, Chantal is on the line from Kempton Park. Hi, Chantal.
Hi.
What question do you have for the doctors this morning?
Well, I had a breast reduction in 2008 and it was botched and my areolas were left higher than what they can, so I can't wear a normal bra. You know, I'd like to know if it's possible to even have that fixed.
We got a lot of that, by the way. We got a lot of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's something that you need to consult with a plastic surgeon and let them have a look and try and see what the reason for that is, if there's other asymmetries or problems. It is possible to have it fixed in certain instances. It's tricky to fix, and that's why I would say you really need to go to somebody who knows what they're doing, does a lot of breast surgery, and is a qualified registered plastic surgeon.
Okay.
That answer your question?
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. You can spot. Can you spot surgery? I mean, if someone has some procedures and stuff, is it easy to spot for you as specialist doctors?
You can spot things sometimes.
Are you sometimes surprised? Were you like, wow, that must be good because you didn't know that someone... Can you tell?
Well, I would say that's a mark of a good plastic surgeon is...
That you can't
when
see.
When you see someone and you think they look attractive, but you don't necessarily know that they've had surgery, that would be a mark of a good surgeon.
Are you good? Do you have a good eye with spotting it? Doctor?
I think we do. I think it's just part of our nature and our training. And I think we might notice something that maybe the members who are of the public might not notice. Okay. But I must say, outside work, I don't spend my days sort of analyzing everyone at dinner parties.
I do. I can spot it a mile away. I've got a very good eye when it comes to spotting surgery or procedures or not. It's true. It's a true story.
Okay.
So between myself, Liesl and Elma. Who had done? I'm kidding, for goodness sake. Like, her mouth open, like, I'm teasing, I really am teasing.
They don't need anything. I'm not so sure about you.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the correct answer this morning. Yes. Thank you very much.
All right, so just to recap and conclude this morning, do your homework before you go to have plastic surgery done. There is a website. You can go and check the credentials of the doctor. What are they specialized in? What is their field of speciality? What are they qualified for? Don't mess around with this. We can tell you just from radio people, the amount of emails we got from people saying, help, it was done badly the first time around. Don't do it badly. Go and consult first. Thank you for joining us on the show this morning.
We always keep it real. On Breakfast with Martin Bester. Every weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. 6 to 9 a.m. What I love about Martin is that he's real.
And he's got a wicked sense of humor too. It's a fantastic package.
Jacaranda FM.